Blog Talk Radio. Nurturer's Corner Blog Talk Radio Show, right here where our title is always being a positive change agent in a negatively changing world. And look, I am excited once again, but like never before, to have our special guest tonight. And listen, if you haven't already, make sure you invite somebody to listen in tonight, because it's going to be phenomenal. We have none other than who I have coined as my coach, none other than the one and only, all the way from Seattle, Washington, Coach Jamie Elmore. Have you joined us tonight?
Yes, Lady C, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, my coach. I am just ecstatic to have you on our show tonight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. I'm just honored to be here on the line with you. I'm just excited as you are. I'm just honored. I'm so proud of you as well. So thank you for having me.
Well, thank you so much. I tell you, I am one of your number one fans amongst all your other followers. I am right there cheering everybody on to just pump it up for the one and only Coach Jamie Elmore, because you are doing some phenomenal things. And let me get ahead of myself. I want you to do all the honors of. Please just briefly, if you will, introduce yourself to our listeners in case they don't know who you are.
Well, okay. Well, thank you once again. My name is Jamie Elmore, and I live in the great city and state of Seattle, Washington, and I am a licensed hairstylist, salon owner, entrepreneur. I am a change agent, an activist. I'm a mother. I'm a writer, and I'm just someone who wants to make a difference in the world. And I will stop there, Lady C, if that's good enough for you tonight.
I love it. I love it. And you know what? Ooh, I just got chills because I remember when I first started trying to talk about myself. Sometimes it's hard. But when you know your purpose, as you have come over as so confidently expressing, you know, it's not hard to share because you understand that your purpose helps to push someone else's purpose out. And I just love what you do and what you represent. And I know, as I had posted and shared publicly, that you are an alopecia activist. Did I say that right? Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. You said it right.
So could you please explain for us, you know, because one thing I've stopped doing is assuming I know anything. If I don't know, I ask questions. And for those of our audience that are listening and are the same way, please could you make clear for us what is alopecia?
Okay, awesome. Great question. Alopecia is an autoimmune disease. Basically, it's where your immune system attacks your hair follicle and causes your hair to fall out. So your hair can fall out on your head, all over your body, different areas of your body, and it affects people in different ways. And so that's the best way that I can kind of give you a definition. Of course, they have a lot of medical terminology, but I like to keep it simple. It's hair loss, definitely.
Yes. Please give us layman terms so we'll be able to get a better understanding, because we cannot be a part of your march if we don't understand what the march is all about, for sure. And I'm definitely one of those that is in the parade with you. So how can you even briefly go further and tell us how you became an alopecia activist? That's some sharp terminology right there.
Yes, I actually can. Like I said earlier, I'm a hairstylist, a salon owner, been in the industry for about 25 and a half years. And back in 1998, yeah, for a long time, I can't even believe I've been doing hair that long.
Wow.
But I was doing hair, like I said, and back in 1998, that's when I first noticed that I had a small round bald patch in the back of the nape of my neck. And I didn't know what it was. I talked to a few other people, other hairstylists, and asked them if they knew what was going on with me. They didn't know, so they said, it'll probably grow back. And so time went on, and I noticed that my hair started falling out even more. And mind you, being in the industry, I had never seen anything like this before, never seen anything like it. So I was used to dealing with people, you know, especially, you know, losing a little hair, a little shedding and things like that. But I had never seen anyone's hair fall out at the rate that mine was falling out. And so I'll fast forward a little bit more, and then you can ask me whatever else you want to ask me. But as time went on, my hair got severely bad. I had to get to a point where I stopped hiding it, went to the doctor, finally got diagnosed with alopecia. Now, again, I had never heard of it. I'm in the industry. I do people's hair all the time. I see all types of situations, breakage, but the alopecia and the baldness, the losing of the eyebrows, the losing of the eyelashes, the losing of the nose hair, I had never seen it. So that was my... I'll say that was my encounter with alopecia when it happened to me. So I don't know what else to kind of describe that, but I'll turn it back over to you, and we can just kind of flow from there.
Well, yeah. So what made you become an activist, though? Because I'm certain that, you know, that's not even a common flag to wave, if you will, of the alopecia community. You know, what made you become an activist? I know you're strong in your own right, you know, doing hair all that time. I'm certain that you're a very confident stylist and, you know, abreast in the field as much as need be. But to be an activist of something that is really kind of opposing what you represent, what made you step out into that arena?
Okay, that's an awesome question. Well, like I said, I got diagnosed with it in 2004, and after I got diagnosed with it, I, you know, went through some major depression, went through my own journey per se, but I was suffering in silence. No one knew that I had alopecia. My family didn't know. My friends didn't know. No one knew. And so it got to a point to where, enough was enough. And I remember being in the hair salon, and one of my clients came in, and she says, "Jamie, I have a friend that has a daughter who's 11 years old who has alopecia." She said, "Well, can you talk to her?" And I'm saying to myself, you know, what am I going to say to this young lady? But I told her, I said, "Yes, you know, I can talk to her." So the young lady came over to my home. We sat down. We started talking, and I asked the young lady, you know, did she know why she was here, why she was talking with me, meeting with me? And she said, "Yes." I said, "Why?" She said, "Because you have alopecia." And I said, "I do." And I said, "Well, would you like to see it?" So at that time, I was still hiding. I was still covering up my alopecia. So I took off my scarf. When I took off my scarf, I get emotional when I talk about this, is because this is how everything got started for me. I took off my scarf and I showed the young lady, and I call her the baby. I showed my baby my hair, and At that point, I was totally bald. So when I took off my scarf, she looked at me. She just started crying. And I asked her, I said, why are you crying? And she said, because I never, she said, because I've never seen anybody else that looks like me. And when she said that, my heart, it literally broke. And so I grabbed her, I hugged her, I put her face up against my face, and I took her to this mirror that I had in my home. And I told her, I said, do you realize we have the upper hand when it comes to options? I said, we can do so much with our look. I said, we can wear hats, we can wear scarves, we can wear big earrings, small earrings, you know, things like that. So I just to kind of sum it up, I gave the baby some earrings, showed her how to wrap her hair in scarves. She left my home, and when she left my house, Lady C, I began to cry. I cried, and I said, God, I said, what do you want me to do? You know, what do you want me to do with this? And when I kind of sat there, and as clear as you and I are talking now, it was like, you need to start a support group. So that's when I started this global support group, because I realized that what I was going through, it wasn't just about me. It was more people dealing with it. And that baby is the person who started me on this road to helping and supporting and empowering and encouraging other people that was dealing with and suffering. When I say suffering, I mean literally suffering in silence. And so that's how I got started with doing what I do. And it's bigger. It's much bigger than me. It's much bigger than me. Much bigger than me.
This is powerful. I love it. Oh my God! Because I mean, listen, folks. If we're only doing what we do for ourselves, we're not doing anything. It cannot just be about me, myself, and I. And I mean, that's why our title of our topic tonight is talking about the unimaginable, because as a woman, our hair, come on, it's like way up there on the list of do not touch and do not infringe, you know. But then when you don't have the power over the do not, oh my God. And I mean, I applaud and celebrate you, Coach Jamie, for you're taking that initiative, being prompted by your baby to go ahead and start leading the parade of freedom for others. Like you said, suffering in silence. I mean, so many of us today suffer in silence, quote unquote, you know, with so many arenas. This is why what you do needs to be just all over the world. Because it will free so many, and you've actually answered a lot of my questions already. So I'm just really amazed. So tell me this. Because you did already share, you know, kind of what you've been doing or what you did to positively change the outlook that the world has of alopecia. You know, I know that you're a writer in a magazine, writing articles of the effect, and I mean, huge, starting the support group. Oh my God, I love it. But tell me this, where do you see the alopecia community going in the future, you know, as far as, I guess, bridging the gap between the world and alopecia, you know, because we don't necessarily, I know for myself, outside looking in, just seeing a person not have a female not having hair, or just a person period not having hair. Today, because cancer is so prevalent, you just assume that it's cancer related, you know.
Yes.
And pray in that regard, if you will, if you're a prayer person or you're compassionate towards the, you know, cancer person. But in fact, over how many, Coach Jamie, are not even cancer? What's the percentage of persons now who have are dealing with alopecia, if you know? And shed some light on where you see the alopecia community going.
Wow, excellent question. Well, Right as of now, according to the studies through the National Alopecia Areata Foundation, there's 6.8 million people in the U.S. living with alopecia. And then there will be 147 million people worldwide that will have or will develop alopecia. So that number is huge. That number is huge. And what's so amazing about that is within the last 7 days, for me personally, because my reach is global, I have gotten 15 new people that have contacted me within the last 7 days that have alopecia. Just talked to a mother last night of an 11-year-old girl who has alopecia, and I talked to a young lady in the Philippines on yesterday as well who reached out to me through Facebook, and she said to me, she says, ma'am, and we're talking through Facebook, and what we're going to do is basically get an interpreter so I can really talk to her and support her through.
Right.
But just to kind of to sum up and answer your question, because I'm going off on a little tangent here, is how can we make an impact as far as the community? There's two things that my organization, what we're trying to do, we're trying to educate and bring more awareness to just the society as a whole,
mm-hmm.
what alopecia is, how it affects someone's life, how to interact with that person, what signs to look for as an individual, you know, not to wait until the last minute like I did to go get treated, you know, because what I found with most of the people that get diagnosed with alopecia is it's stress-related. Mine was stress-induced. Mine was stress-related. But then there's a flip side of that for the individuals who have to, the family members, the support system that needs to be in place for those people that have alopecia. Because we forget about those people. We forget about those people who have to wake up and interact with these people, the family members, so they don't know what to do. So our goal as to be support for the people who are living and suffering with this alopecia on a day-to-day basis, but then how to support and educate and show the people who are living with these individuals and interacting with them on a regular basis how they can be a support to them. And then the third thing that I would add to that is for the people that are suffering in silence to let them know that they're not alone, that you're not alone, and that life goes on, that you will get depressed, you will go through things, but you can start over, that your life isn't over. And that was my challenge. And most of the people that I come in contact with, they feel like they're all alone. And I know how this young lady is feeling over in the Philippines. I can imagine, because it's a third world country. You know what I'm saying? And she doesn't have, like she said to me, she says, I don't have a doctor. I don't have money to get any medicine, because there's no medication that can quote-unquote treat it. They sell it. They tell you this medication, put these drops in, take these pills. But honestly, Lady C, it's an autoimmune disease. It's your immune system. It's your immune system. It's nothing that you can take. Now, your hair may grow back, but then again, it may fall out again. So I have to, my whole goal as an organization is to educate people, to tell them all their options, give them different resources and tools, how they can function on a day-to-day basis, and then how to support the people that are supporting them through this journey. So I don't know if I answered that, but, I mean, I can talk all day about alopecia and the way the world views beauty, the magazines, the videos, the music. They tell you what beauty looks like, and I tell people all the time, that's not the definition of beauty. What's the definition of beauty? It's how you see yourself. How do you see yourself? We're fearfully and wonderfully made. I had to realize that. I went through depression. I went through all of that, but I had to get to a point in my life when I realized that God didn't make no mistakes, that he has a calling and a special place for me, that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. So, you know, we can talk all day, Lady C, you and I.
I love it. This is from the show. Go, go, go. I'm not one of those hosts that takes over the show, and I won't mention a name. They invite a guest, but then they're doing all the talking. No, no, no. You are on here for this purpose because, I mean, we are honing you as definite change, positive change agent, because you have taken for us, especially as women, all I'm sure have the same negative connotations towards this, if you will, but especially us as women, you have taken something just unimaginable and made it be where it has some positive light to it, if you will. And that is just that you, it goes beyond you deserving recognition. I certainly appreciate you, and I know the others who are reaching out to you and connecting with you are glad you are out in the front. And I'm sure it's not hard to be. I mean, it's not easy to be in the front because you have your days, I'm sure, when you wish somebody else would step up just for maybe a day or two or something and, you know, give you time to have your little mini breakdown or mini breather or let me break all the mirrors or what have you. I don't know. But I certainly, as well as our listeners, I'm sure, I'm saying for them as well, we thank you for being that positive change agent for this, the community that you directly affect. And having said that, I want you to just, can you give us what are maybe the three main things you could advise those of us who are outside looking in, if you will, even though we're supporting you, we're trying to, you know, support those that are in directly in our lives as well, relatives or, you know, those that are directly affected by this. What are the three main things that are desired of, you know, the alopecia community from us? Because, for example, I know I strive to not be a person that sees but does not see a person that is physically affected, you know, like you don't want to stare, but then you don't want to not stare, you know, that kind of thing. So, that was just an example of what I'm saying. Can you tell us what advice can you give us that, you know, maybe three top things that you can suggest to us to be the best support or person that's reachable for this community?
Oh, that's an excellent question. One of the first things that I can think of that I hear so often on a personal level, and that I hear from the support group members and from the alopecia family, I would call it per se, is people always say, one of the first things they say is, it's just hair. It's just hair. So it's just hair. I tell people this. You say that it's just hair when it's not yours. When you're not losing your hair, it's easy for you to say, it's just hair. Okay? That's the first thing. That's the no-no. You know, that's not a good thing to say because it hits us the wrong way. It settles in our spirit the wrong way. You know, it just doesn't sit right. So I always tell people, you know, if it was you, you wouldn't say that. You wouldn't say it's just hair.
True.
Then the other thing to add to that just hair is just cut it off. Oh, just cut it off. You just cut it off. No, if it was your hair, you wouldn't say just cut it off, because every person dealing with alopecia and going through that hair loss phase, sometimes, and I did, they hold on to that hair. They hold on. It may be a string sticking up like I did, but they hold on to it because it's a process. There's steps that you have to go through. So the just hair, that's something that is highly recommended not to say. But the second thing that I would kind of throw in there is just being a listening ear. If that person who's dealing with alopecia, if they're just, they just need to talk, if they just need to cry, if they just need to complain, Let them talk. Let them cry. Let them complain. Let them kind of go through that. It's part of the mourning, just like when somebody loses a loved one.
Yes.
You have a mourning. You got different phases and stages that you go through. And losing your hair, it's the same thing. You got different stages and phases that you go through. So just being that listening ear and being that person for them during that stage, whatever stage that they may be in. And then the third thing is, I don't even know what to really say for the third one, is really just to be there. You know, I tell people, one thing I tell people is I tell my family, my alopecia family, we don't wear wigs. We wear accessories. Everything is an accessory. So from a wig to a hat to a scarf to earrings to necklaces, everybody wears it. Accessories, whether you're dealing with hair loss or not. So when you change the language that you use, then you have a different perception. It's like, oh, what hair accessory am I going to wear today? Am I going to wear this wig accessory? Am I going to wear a hat? Am I going to wear a scarf? So I tell my family to just embrace it, to embody that. If you're going to wear that wig, hair accessory, then you be in full character. If it's the Erykah Badu look, if it's curly, if it's straight, if it's the Cleopatra, whatever, you just rock that. You see what I'm saying? You just embrace that. So that's the best thing that I can say. Just the people that are supporting, just be there to support. Just be a listening ear. Sometimes you're just to say anything. Just be there.
Yeah.
That's
all. Powerful. Powerful. Well, I don't know about you listeners, but I definitely feel in full of knowledge and empowered to be part of the positive change agent world of alopecia. I am telling you, I'm walking away different. I am loving this. You have really done so much for us tonight, Coach Jamie, and I certainly, again, I applaud and celebrate you in what you're doing, because it's the world you're reaching and touching, and your support. And I'm telling you, whatever Lady C can do to be a part of your solution, I am there and I am all in, as I'm sure our listeners are. So you have any last remarks you want to bring to our hearing? Do you have any announcements, any events coming up?
Yes, ma'am, I do. Thank you so much. We have an event coming up on June the 10th here in Seattle, Washington. We will be having an image and accessory workshop. We have partnered with the city of Seattle. So this is huge. They saw the need.
Awesome.
They have sponsored this event. So we will be reaching out to anyone dealing with hair loss, whether it's alopecia, just hair loss in general, you're going through cancer. Mm-hmm. We will have a team of makeup artists that will be on site. We'll show the women how to accessorize with makeup. We'll show them how to do head wraps and scarves, just accessorize just in general. So it's from 11 o'clock a.m. to 1 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, Rainier Beach Community Center. And they can reach me, you know, through my website, alopeciasupport.org, or they can reach me on Facebook. And I'm just totally honored. We have a lot of things going on. I'm writing a book that'll be finished pretty soon. And I have several articles that I write for the Seattle Medium, Shay K. Wolfcoff magazine, Presidential Style Online magazine. And I'm just honored to just have a platform in which I can just educate people and just talk about our world. And my column is called Jamie's Chair. And so I'm just honored to be here. Thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to have a voice on your radio show. You're doing an awesome job. And anything that I can do for you, you know that you got me 100%. So thank
you
so much
tonight. So much. And I'll definitely be sharing all of your announcements on our page. So once again, everybody, go out there and do somebody a favor and be part of the solution by being a positive change agent in this negatively changing world. Good night, and I'll see you right here next Friday at 9 p.m. Good night. Thank you.